Here we go, taking you home. It's a Thursday edition of the Sports Rush. We are so glad you're taking time out of your afternoon, maybe just cruising on home from work to spend some time with us. I am Brett Rump, Caleb Hatch in the producer's chair. We've got a special show lined up for you today, all the way up till 6 o'clock. We've got guests, and more guests. We've got coming up on the program, Purdue football coach Jeff Brohm is going to join us. We agreed to help get him warmed up for what he's going to face tomorrow at Big Ten Media Day, because you know he's going to get a rapid fire of a number of questions from multiple reporters as he has to answer all the questions for Media Day. So we thought we'd go ahead and toss him a few today just to get him a little warmed up. So we've got Jeff Brohm joining the show coming up today at 5:20. Questions for Purdue football, fire away on the Parkview Sports Medicine text line at 46862. Also coming up on the show today, his offer list just continues to grow and perhaps get more impressive with each subsequent offer. It's Connor Asijan from Central Noble. He's going to join the program coming up just after 5 o'clock. He'll be live from Las Vegas. Wonder if he's going to go to the Usher show. He is in Las Vegas playing some basketball. Caleb, that's an inside joke. Caleb and I were—I was actually the one listening to it. Caleb is doing his own thing, actually working before we get set to go on the air. But I was watching Usher, a little promo for Usher at Caesar's Palace, and so it was kind of an inside joke that Connor Asijan is in Las Vegas again doing the travel basketball here during the summer months. And his latest offers include Creighton, Wake Forest, Butler. But we're going to talk to him and find out how things are going this summer, where his game is at, where he feels his game is at, where it could improve, and what is he looking for in a college? Not which college is standing out or who leads the pack, but what are going to be some of the things that are important to him? And we're going to find out when we talk to Connor Asijan coming up after 5 o'clock. Also on the way, it's our Thursday edition with Tommy Schegler, Parkview Sports Medicine Director. He's going to be joining us coming up at about 5:35. And we've got a special Tommy's Top 5 today. And I'll just tell you at this point, it ties in with the Colts opening their training camp next week. So we've got Tommy's Top 5, and that will be at 5:35 on this Thursday edition of the Sports Rush. Well, of course, we know that Milwaukee is now the NBA champion, and they did it their homegrown way, where they got a great draft pick, taking the 15th overall pick in the draft, Giannis Antetokounmpo, and he turns out to be the superstar that a small market team could build around. They were able to afford to bring in some pieces like Lopez, Holiday, Portis and Tucker and... Oh, by the way, I want to get this out. You know, Caleb, I sometimes I don't even realize because I glance down at my notes, I say something, and then I realize it later if I hear the show back, and I have said Porter about as many times as I have said Portis. Now, you have to jump in and stop me when I do that because you know what I realized? I went back through my notes. Every time I looked down and would read what was on my sheet, I would say Porter because spell check was changing it. When I was writing notes for the show, I would write Portis, and it would change it to Porter. And so I kept getting Porter on my notes. So when I was not looking at notes and just talking about players, I would say Portis. And then I would all of a sudden glance at my notes and say something and just automatically say Porter because it was listed there. So yes, we do know it's Bobby Portis who played for Milwaukee, in case you caught me on that. I know people driving their cars and they just love to say, oh, he said Porter. What an idiot. But it is Portis. And so the Bucks are your champions. I thought they did a brilliant job of assembling this team around Giannis Antetokounmpo, getting the true point guard, allowing Giannis to play off the ball a little bit, getting floor spacers where you've got two or three guys that can fill it up from outside, including Chris Middleton, who really, when they took Middleton, it was a bit of a gamble. I mean, this was a guy that was a G League player that they decided to take a shot at. And both Middleton and Antetokounmpo turned out to be guys that overplayed what they were picked at or overplayed their initial value. They were picked up fairly cheap, and they ended up outperforming that initial value. And so credit to both of those players for the work that they put in, but also credit to Milwaukee, who was willing to take guys to build for the future, and it's paid off in a big way with the Bucks being the champion. And, you know, here's the thing I don't think enough people are talking about, is not just Giannis Antetokounmpo scoring the 50 points, shooting the ball 16 of 25 from the field in game six, the 14 rebounds that he had. All that's great, but I think the thing that people overlook is the defense that he provided. Remember, he was instrumental in that game five steal late in the contest when they stripped Booker in the lane and Holiday came from behind and stripped the ball away. Remember, the guy that came off his man to basically put up a wall in the middle of the lane and cause Booker the panic where he picked up the dribble, he had to find something to do with it. That was Giannis Antetokounmpo, who came over to help and stop the penetration from Devin Booker. And you're not going to be able to shoot the ball over Booker. Well, then you look at the blocks that he had throughout this series. Of course, the block, the one he made, was that game three when he went up above the rim against DeAndre Ayton? I'm trying to remember if that was three or four, but it was in Milwaukee. That was an unbelievable block on the alley-oop. But he also had five blocks just in game six alone. His defense was tremendous, and it's why he's always talked about as defensive player of the year because, well, he is. And part of it is just the length that he has allows him to get up and block shots. He's got that tremendous wingspan. He's quick and athletic for a guy that's his size, which also makes him versatile, where you can guard a big. And I thought that was something, too, that Milwaukee may have adjusted to. Because remember, in game one, when Phoenix came out and kind of dominated the first game and made Milwaukee look bad, a lot of it was on that high ball screen where the guards, Booker and Paul, were getting matched up against guys like Brook Lopez. Well, that was a mismatch, and Phoenix took advantage of it. Well, what you then saw was when Phoenix sent somebody high to go set that ball screen, Giannis would often be the guy that would go out there. Giannis is a much better defender on the perimeter, even against smaller players, and he's much tougher to shoot over. And so, therefore, he took away a little bit of that advantage off the ball screen and took that part of the game away from Phoenix a little bit when they made that switch. But I thought his defense was just almost as important as his offense. And of course, it's hard to say defense is just as important when the guy puts up 50 in the deciding game like Giannis did. But I think he's that the Milwaukee Bucks and their championships kind of created the blueprint now for other teams to follow. Maybe the Pacers can learn something from it, although the Pacers are in a totally different position right now than where the Bucks were when they got Giannis Antetokounmpo. But remember, Antetokounmpo was what? A 15th pick. Pacers pick 13th this draft. That kind of puts the emphasis on this draft as far as what the Pacers need to do, because the Pacers have to hit on this. They have failed so many times with first-round picks, and you can always go back and use the excuse, well, the Pacers didn't have a lottery pick. The Pacers are always picking somewhere 18 to 25, and it's tough to get a good player 18 to 25 in the first round. And some drafts, that's absolutely true. This draft, though, I think there are going to be some hidden gems that are plucked away in the teens. But also, the Pacers pick 13th. They don't pick 18, 20, 22, 23. So I think they need to score with this one. But the other thing, too, is I think they've got a roster that has a lot of versatility and flexibility where they could package some things together, make some moves, and try to assemble a little bit of a new-look roster depending who they end up drafting. You know, for one thing, the Pacers do not have what Milwaukee has, and that is the star that's been homegrown to build around. You look at the Pacers roster, and you've got, first of all, if you start at the top, guys like Brogdon, LeVert, Sabonis, TJ Warren. I mean, most of the guys projected as starters are not guys the Pacers drafted. They're all guys that the Pacers have acquired through trade or through deals. The only ones really on the roster that the Pacers have in rotation right now that were actually draft picks, Miles Turner, Aaron Holiday, and Goga Bitadze. That's not exactly the strength of the roster. So it shows that the Pacers have really had to go out and find bargains. The problem for the Pacers, if that's the way they're going to build the roster, there's not a real attraction for free agency. If you don't have the people that you've developed internally that have trade value, what you get back when you do make deals generally are good players, but not great players. And I think the Pacers have really good players. I mean, I think Malcolm Brogdon's a really good player. I don't think he's a great player. I think Caris LeVert's a really good player, but he's not a great player. So Bonus is probably, to me, he's the most important Pacer just because he's a defensive guy. He is a rebounder. He's almost irreplaceable on this roster the way it's assembled. I don't see Bataze as being that guy that's going to take the spot of Sabonis if Sabonis wasn't a Pacer. So I think Sabonis is almost irreplaceable right now. TJ Warren, Jeremy Lamb. Warren, of course, we saw can be a real scorer. Jeremy Lamb, we haven't seen enough of. TJ McConnell, little spark plug off the bench. Love what he does, but he's not a great player. Good player. Doug McDermott, good shooter. Not great shooter, good shooter. He can be a great shooter at times. And I thought we saw his game kind of evolve this year where he became more of an attack on the dribble type of guy. But you look at that roster and it's like, okay, no superstar. So the Pacers are not going to be able to build like the Milwaukee Bucks built if the Pacers are trying to take the next step and go for an NBA championship. Now, the team, I'll tell you, I keep coming back to this, Caleb, but the team that I think is in a position to do what Milwaukee did is the Dallas Mavericks. I think at this point they've established they've got the next budding superstar of the NBA in Luka Doncic, and I think it's very important to them to get it right. The problem is they may have just lost all the people that could have provided the support and be able to do it because, of course, Donnie Nelson, he ends up being fired from the organization. Rick Carlisle ends up leaving the organization. And so you had two really smart NBA minds not with the Mavericks anymore. Mark Cuban, I mean, I don't think his strength is in player personnel for the NBA. He's got players he's probably fans of, but as far as really putting pieces together that fit like a nicely, a neat puzzle, I don't think that's Mark Cuban's strength. So I don't know if Dallas is in a position from the executive branch, the upper level management, the front office, I don't know if they're in a position there to make the right moves to do it right now. But if there's a team that's in a position now, similar to what Milwaukee was in 5, 6, 7 years ago, I think it's the Dallas Mavericks and build this thing around the strengths of Luka Doncic, get him the pieces that are only going to complement his talent. I think Dallas could develop a really good team. I mean, you look at the West, and certainly there's going to be a couple of teams that eventually get old in the next 4 or 5 years. The Lakers, we don't know, another year, maybe 2 years at most. You've got the Golden State Warriors, the core of that team, 4 or 5 years down the road is just not going to be the same. You know, you don't know what's going to happen with markets like Utah and Denver when all of a sudden more players want to get paid and get in on the money, and that could split some of their lineup apart. But I think Dallas is in a perfect spot, and I think Mark Cuban will pay the money to have a winner if he knows he can have a winner. But who's going to make those calls? Who's going to make those decisions? Do they have the right front office to make them? But I think that if there's anybody in this league that I think is on a path to do what the Bucks have just done and use what the Bucks have done as a blueprint, it's the Mavericks.
I would say you have to throw in the caveat, though, that Dallas is not a small market team.
No.
So, in Dallas, I mean, Mark Cuban, who is a player-friendly owner, you also have turnover at coach Jason Kidd as coach, which it has been very hit or miss with him as a head coach in the NBA. But, like you said, they have Luka Doncic, probably a top five player in the NBA now. Right now, and could elevate himself to be number one or two in the next 2 to 3 seasons very easily. I don't feel like that's a controversial take here. Giannis, I think, to me, is now the face of the league after winning the championship. I understand LeBron.
Wait, you think he's the face over LeBron at this point?
I think he will shift to be the face of the league.
Because Giannis was starring in the TV show NBA Finals. LeBron now starring in Space Jam 2.
I did see Space Jam 2.
You did?
Yeah. When
did you borrow somebody's kid just to feel more comfortable going?
No.
You just, no?
No. No, I watched it on HBO Max. I didn't watch it in the theater.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So while it was definitely not the best movie I've ever seen, and definitely probably in the top, I don't know, 5 to 10 worst movies I've ever seen. However, it wasn't like bad that, oh, I want to turn this off and not watch, like, because sometimes a movie's so bad and I'm just like, ah, I'm not gonna
I don't
keep
get
watching
the
this.
Whole critiquing of it on social media, though, because it's very polarizing. People are either really bashing it as awful, or they're saying it's much better. People are overreacting to it. It actually was really good. My kids enjoyed it. And I'm trying to figure out why it seems to be so polarizing. Just go to the movie, enjoy it for what it is.
Yeah,
it's silly movie to begin with. I mean, the whole premise and plot is a silly storyline.
Yeah. To me, I can enjoy like a dumb movie. So I thought, wow, this movie's not very good. It started off pretty slow, but then once you introduce the Looney Tune characters, like, I laughed a lot at certain parts, and I thought it was entertaining. I didn't expect it to be a, you know, an Oscar nominee. So
right. I mean, you go in knowing what your expectations are.
Yeah. You're not expecting, you know, some masterpiece. I was expecting to be entertained, and I was. I laughed. So,
of course, I can't ask you about the reaction to the kids in the room, because from what I understand, the kids are really enjoying it. They think it's great.
Oh, yeah.
And they don't have the first Space Jam to compare it to.
Correct.
Did you try to make any comparisons to the first Space Jam and say, oh, the first one was better when it comes to that or something like that?
They had more NBA players in the first one compared to the second. But the new one, I mean, introduced some WNBA players.
Was the music as good? Because the music kind of, I thought
the music was great in the first one. In this one, I don't know. I don't know if I really noticed it, good or bad.
Okay. We'll have to wait for the soundtrack to come out.
Yeah. But I mean, look, it's supposed to be a fun movie. It was fun.
That's all it's about.
That's all it should be.
46862, Parkview Sports Medicine text line, 46862. So I interrupted you, but you think Giannis is the face of the NBA right now?
I think moving forward after the NBA Finals, yes.
That
I really
he took
do.
Over that crown.
Yes. I feel like it is his league now. He won the championship. He's won multiple MVPs in the past. Now is a Finals MVP as well. It is his league now.
46862, that's the Parkview Sports Medicine text line to weigh in on whether you believe Caleb or you're not buying Caleb's hot take that Giannis Antetokounmpo is the face of the NBA. Hey, last night, good news out at Parkview Field. Tin Caps pound out a 9-3 win. A lot of contributors in this one. Every Tin Cap batter had at least one hit. They had a number of them that had two hits. Kelvin Alarcon was 3-for-4. Fort Wayne, a season high, 7 doubles plus 9 extra base hits. They really got it going offensively last night, end up winning at 9-3, got good pitching out of the bullpen, and tonight they'll send Anderson Espinosa to the mound. It will be another Thirsty Thursday at Parkview Field. Tickets are available, and if you don't make it to the ballpark tonight, you can always listen to the action right here on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Mike Moss has the call with the Hoopy Insurance Services pregame show kicking everything off at 6:45. We'll take a timeout. Don't forget, still coming up on the show, Connor Asijan, Jeff Brom, Tommy Schegler, loaded Thursday edition of the Sports Rush on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. We've talked quite a bit about kids trying to pick a school based on the likes or based on the ego. And sometimes when you look at the list, you could just almost pull out and say, well, that's the biggest school. That's the best school. That's the biggest conference. That makes the most sense. And it's like we as followers or just the average public, we can't tell a kid what's going to be the best situation for him. I mean, yes, we could tell you what we think the biggest and best program is, but that doesn't mean it's a match for every recruit that's out there. And I just wanted to pass that along because I think this is kind of an example of that. The Mastodons picked up a commitment today from a kid that had offers from West Virginia, TCU, plus he was getting strong interest from Florida and Memphis. And he decided now was the time to come out and make a commitment to Purdue Fort Wayne. Chris Morgan, a 6'2 guard out of Wisconsin, made a commitment to the Mastodons. I will tell you this. If you're a friend of Chris Morgan, or if you're somebody that has played basketball with or against Chris Morgan, you probably look at the list and your first thought is, what are you doing? Well, for Chris Morgan, the type of game, he wants to play fast. He wants to play in the open court. He wants to get a chance at three-point shots. The system, the style, it works for him. He was probably comfortable on a smaller campus. Maybe it was something regional. When you look at West Virginia and TCU, two programs that are going to be a pretty good distance from Wisconsin, Florida and Memphis, two other schools that potentially could have offered. I mean, there's so many things that have to go into making the decision as to what is the right program that fits your game and your checklist for what you're looking at a college. And good pickup for the Mastodons, Coach Kaufman and staff. Chris Morgan, 6'2 guard out of Wisconsin. And the other thing, too, this might have been a factor, is the fact that the Mastodons play in the Horizon League, which, of course, has Milwaukee and Green Bay as two of the Horizon League members. And so there will be chances for family and friends to come see him play when he returns to take on Milwaukee and Green Bay. So good pickup for the Mastodons. Chris Morgan, part of the 2022 recruiting class. Colts just 1 week from training camp. Oh, man, it's good to know. We've got Colts training camp coming up. We're going to have three exhibition games this season. I think there are questions about the Colts heading to camp. What are the top questions that you've got about the Colts heading into training camp? I'll tell you mine. Number one, I think the most important thing for the Colts is to figure out their quarterback situation. Now, it's not about Carson Wentz. We know he's the starter. That's pretty well confirmed. We do want to know what kind of quarterback the Colts are getting in Carson Wentz. Are they going to get the Carson Wentz that was an MVP candidate, or are they going to get the Carson Wentz that was run out of town by the Philadelphia Eagles because of his poor play, that was replaced as the starter by Jalen Hurts, who hasn't exactly torn it up in his time as a starter in Philadelphia? Which quarterback will the Colts get? Because you saw a Jekyll and Hyde with Carson Wentz in his time that he spent in Philadelphia. But the one thing is, I don't know, is Jekyll the good one or the bad one? The good Carson Wentz, whether it's the Jekyll Carson or the Hyde Carson, is the one that played with Frank Reich when he was coaching in Philadelphia. And so we've got to hope as Colts fans that that's the Carson Wentz we're getting. And hopefully preseason will give us some indication of how comfortable he's going to be with the offense and what kind of Carson Wentz we're going to see this year. And the other quarterback question, as far as talking about the quarterback situation, is Jacob Eason ready to be a backup? And I think that's a major question for the Colts to address this preseason.
But to answer your more important first question, the strange case of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, according to the ever accurate,
that's the important part.
Ever accurate Wikipedia, it actually is about a London legal practitioner named Gabriel John Utterson, who investigates strange occurrences between his old friend, Dr. Henry Jekyll, and the evil Edward Hyde.
So Hyde is the evil one.
Correct. And so the phrase, you know, Jekyll and Hyde refers to people with an unpredictably dual nature, outwardly good, but sometimes shockingly evil.
Okay, so we want the outwardly good Carson Wentz.
But he could be shockingly evil, is that what you're saying?
Well, yes, he was in Philadelphia. Look at his stats. Yes, he was. The same guy that was up for an MVP award was perhaps the worst starter in NFL football last year. And so, yes, we do want to know, are we getting Jekyll or are we getting Hyde? But now we know that the one we want is Jekyll. Thank you for getting to the bottom of that, Caleb.
Now, is Eason ready to be a backup quarterback? I sure hope so. He has to be, right? They don't have a choice.
It looks that way. I mean, I don't know any team that has a situation where a good backup is going to be made available. And I don't know if Ellinger is the guy from Texas.
Oh, yeah, from Texas. I forgot they drafted him. Yeah, I mean, I guess he's a rookie, but I mean, he played at a top level school, as did Jacob Eason. I mean, he went from Georgia and then transferred to Washington in his college career.
Right.
Cannon of an arm, but we don't really know if he's very accurate.
He has the physical skills. He just doesn't have necessarily the game experience.
Yeah.
So we don't know because we didn't have a preseason last year to have any idea of where the bar is set with Jacob Eason.
Do you think after the end of the preseason that we'll have more of a read on Eason and whether we feel confident or not confident about his ability to be a backup and then come in when called?
It's the NFL. There'll be no question we will have some feeling.
True.
There will be an assessment made, perhaps on his first series of downs. And from that point forward, we will reassess every time we see Eason on the field. But you know, that's the NFL. We're going to judge it off the very first thing we see. And hopefully he goes out there and just lights things up. And
so you'll be charting all his throws in the preseason.
I will be charting them. I'll have the radar gun out. I will be ready to go. Complete analysis of the entire performance of Jacob Eason in the preseason. And you know, this is one of those things where not having a preseason last year and then having it cut to three games this year, there's some of the guys, I think, in the NFL that are really being hurt by that. Jacob Eason could be one of them. I mean, maybe this guy's the caliber of a starting quarterback. Maybe, you know, maybe if he'd have had four preseason games a year ago and four preseason games this year through the eight games, maybe he'd have proved to some team that he's worthy of being a starting quarterback and the Colts could have made a deal to move him. But, you know, we'll see. We'll have to get an idea after three preseason games. Like I said, it's the NFL. I'm sure everyone will have a judgment on it and an opinion on it after at least one series. We'll see where he's at. If he doesn't throw a touchdown pass, that's it. He's
what if
mud.
He throws an interception on his first series?
He's done. Bring in Ellinger. Yeah, it's over. The career's done. 46862, the Parkview Sports Medicine text line, 46862. High School Football Media Day. Our special comes up tomorrow. We'll tell you what to expect here with the Sports Rush. Also on the way, Purdue football fans. We've got your coach, Jeff Brohm, who I will address as Coach Brohm when he appears on this program in our next hour. I'm taking no chances. I don't think I've ever called him Jeff anyway. I've always called him Coach Brohm when he's been on the show or coach. But he'll be joining us at 5:20. Connor Asesian, he's going to join us from Las Vegas, Nevada. He's getting set to play some more summer basketball, but he's going to talk to us about his recruiting and about some of these high-level offers that he's been getting this summer, especially recently. Connor Asesian at 5:05, and it's Thursday, so Tommy Shegler joins us at 5:35. We've got a busy show on a Thursday. It's the Sports Rush on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Welcome back to the Sports Rush, your daily local sports fix, 4-6. Brett Rump, Caleb Hatch. Tomorrow, both of us will be attending High School Football Media Day. It's taking place at Empower Sports Club out on Lima Road, way out there out north, the Hunter Town. And, you know, for those of us that know where we broadcast this show from, which is south of the old Southtown Mall, we're out by Highway 27 and 469. That's a bit of a haul to get out to Empower Sports Club.
Do you know about my whole, like, Fort Wayne radius thing?
No.
Have I told you about this?
No. What's this radius thing?
So I live just north of downtown near Lakeside Park, you know, North Anthony Corridor area. So that area. And I pretty much have this thing figured out that I do not go north of Coliseum or south of Rudisill for anything except for work purposes.
Really?
Yeah.
So if there's a show that you want to see and it's outside that radius, you would not go because that's not work.
Yeah, like everything I need and want to attend is within that little bubble. And I get a lot of flack from some people on it. But to me, like, I have no desire to go up to DuPont, for example.
Really?
Yeah. Every time I've gone up there, I'm like, okay, why did I drive this far? Like, for what?
I'm surprised because the area you're in, it's not like loaded with retail.
No, but again, I'm not going north of Coliseum. Coliseum's included, so.
So you could get to, well, see,
I guess the only
Coliseum,
exception.
I mean,
I guess the only exception.
You can't get
I go,
to a Walmart in your radius.
I mean, I could technically down here by work. on my way home. Yeah, but I mean, I don't shop there. But I guess I thought of one exception.
Okay.
And I go to the Aldi on Coldwater, which is basically right
by
Coliseum.
North of Coliseum. Yes. Yeah.
Okay. But that's like the only exception.
Gotcha. I was going to say, I just couldn't see where you could exist with your daily necessities if you didn't get outside that circle. 46862, the Parkview Sports Medicine text line. So back to the high school football media day. We've got a special show. And for those of you that are new to the Sports Rush, we've done this annually now for 7 or 8 years. Other than last year, we were not able to do a high school football media day Sports Rush special because there was no high school football media day. We were dealing with the pandemic and weren't assembling groups like that. But this year, we're getting the kids together. We're getting the coaches together. They invited 43 area teams, and 41 of those area teams will be in attendance. There's a couple of coaches that of the 41 that will not be there. Don't get me started. But there, we will have most of the coaches available to us. And so tomorrow on the show, for you high school football fans, you will love our Friday edition, because we will do 2 hours from the high school football media day. And that means we will talk about the different conferences, some of the key players returning to different teams. We will talk to the coaches to get kind of forecast of what they project from each of their programs. We'll get as much on to the 2 hour show as we can. But here's the other great thing, Caleb, is that we are going to have a special that comes up before the high school football season starts, where we're going to take all the coaches, because we're going to have Shannon Griffith, who does our high school football broadcast with us. He's going to be at the high school football media day. He's going to be conducting some of the interviews with coaches while we've got coaches on the air. We're going to take this all together, compile it, and put together a high school football preseason special. It's going to be presented by Midwest Concussion Clinic, and it's coming up, I believe, now tentatively put this in pencil, but I believe it's going to be August 16th, and we'll have a whole show dedicated to the start of the high school football season. So tomorrow, Sports Rush for 2 hours. We'll get as many coaches on as we can because we do it live. We don't have the rapid fire of coaches that we will have when we get to our high school preseason special, but we will get quite a few on with this. We'll try to get as many from the SAC as we can. We'll dabble and see how many we can collect from the NE8 or the ACAC or the NECC and kind of fill our two-hour time slot. But that's tomorrow afternoon right here on the Sports Rush, a very special high school football media day Sports Rush special. I don't know if I said that right, but seemed like I might have overworded that. But that will be tomorrow to get you into your sports weekend. So I'm looking forward to it. First media day for you. Have you been to a media day?
I have not. I've been invited in the past, but my duties down the hall have prevented me from being able to go previously. And quite honestly, I've hardly met any of the other sports media people here in town.
Really?
Because, I mean, I'm either on site at a Pizza Hut or calling a game.
Well, you've not missed out on much. Let me just say that. Because I have met most of them. Not that big a deal. No, I'm kidding. I'm joking.
I've met a few from like a charity basketball game that FedMed did with.
You're talking about the NBC WPTA group. That,
but I mean, a lot of those people are gone. I think Zach and Ryan are the only people who participated in that who are still here.
I'm trying to remember from the sports department.
As far as the sports side.
They were the only two that participated, didn't they?
Probably. Yeah. So I mean,
think they were
it.
The only two that participated because, I don't know the reason, but yeah. So Chris and Zach, yeah, they're still around. You know some, don't you? You know Justin.
I mean, I know who he is.
You've not met him?
I've not met a lot of these people. Like, I've met Dylan of the Journal Gazette at that Rod Woodson thing a few months back, but I've hardly like met these people. Yeah.
This will be great. Obviously, I sit there and say, we need this coach, and Caleb's going to be out introducing himself to all the different sports media people. Caleb. Hi, I'm Caleb Hatch, 1380 The Fan.
Hand out my business card.
Yes. If a job comes open, please get me out of the Sports Rush. It'll be a fun day, and it's always great to kind of revisit with the coaches, and they've always got, you know, it's always that point of the year, Caleb, where everybody's in first place with a 0-0 record. So it's always a great time to talk to the coaches, get them to open up about what the expectations are for their teams. And so I always look forward to it. It always produces a great show for us. And it also is a stark reminder that the high school football season is not that far away. And so this is the perfect time for me to mention to you that if you can support our high school football broadcast, and we appreciate a couple of the new sponsors we just got recently, but it is a major venture for us. This year we're going to have, as we have had in the past, special Sports Rush on Friday that focuses quite a bit on the high school football coming up that night. We've got our high school football picks of the week. We've got our high school football coaches shows. We've got our Parkview Sports Medicine high school football tailgate pregame show. Again, same cast of characters. You'll get Shan and Jim. And then this year, though, we bring in Dute. Dute is going to be kind of our statistician guy. I called him the stat nerd, but I don't know if that's the appropriate phrase. I don't know if we should call him nerd, so we'll call him something else. But he's the guy that's going to come with those unique numbers and stats to kind of help to prepare and to set up the matchups for that night. So we're looking forward to the Parkview Sports Medicine High School Football Tailgate pregame show starting at 6. Then, of course, the play-by-play starts at 7. We'll have the biggest area football games. Then after the games, we again will be broadcasting live from Pizza Hut, and I think we can have people this year, which is going to be a new experience because last year it was not the same not having people at these restaurants to go in and have only us and a couple of staff members at the Pizza Hut. This year, people can go out after the games, they could dine in, they can pick up a pizza on their way home, use the Pizza Hut app and order it and pick it up on the way. But we have a chance to see so many more people when the restaurant is open. And so we'll be at the Pizza Hut broadcasting our Indiana Physical Therapy post-game show, and that will take you all the way up until 11 o'clock with scores, highlights, coaches, interviews, and more. 7 hours of high school football coverage each Friday. Who does it better? Seriously, no one. I'll answer the question. No one.
I'm going to make you a deal here.
Okay.
So tomorrow, my favorite part about media days is that every coach, everyone's so optimistic and positive.
Yes.
Everyone's, we had a great off season. You know, we made a lot of progress on X, Y, and Z. Oh, we're really excited about the group of guys we have coming in, blah, 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 blah. If you can get a coach to say, you know, I'm really disappointed in our off season, or, you know, I really don't think we put in the work in the off season that I expected.
This may be a down year because these kids are just not as talented as the ones we had graduate.
Exactly. If you can get a coach to admit something along those lines, I will give you $20.
Here's the other thing. We should come up with a mystery word.
Actually, no, not 20. Let's just do a vending machine snag. That's our go-to thing. I don't want to sacrifice $20.
You knew I could get some coach to admit some form of that question. Now, you might not say it in that way.
No.
But I could probably get a coach, if pushing him, to say something has disappointed him in the offseason.
I love the optimism every year because it's what coach is going to say something negative?
They want to believe that these kids are going to come through and deliver for them on Friday nights. We should pick up because I was thinking about that when you hear a lot of the same words from the coaches.
Yeah.
We're excited about this season. Mm-hmm. We're optimistic about what we can do. We have a positive mindset. I mean, we could come up with a special word and have some sounder that we throw in every time we get that word.
Just a little bell dinging.
Yeah, something. Where we get that word. Let's, since our program director is producing the show, let's just do that. We'll make that part of his job tomorrow. Since he's actually putting the show together, we'll just, we'll make up the rules and we'll let him have to execute it. 46862, Parkview Sports Medicine text line. Quick time out. We come back. We are rolling on a Thursday edition of the Sports Rush on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Don't forget, we want you to join us on August 12th. We'll be on the treetop section at Parkview Field. It is our special 1380 The Fan Sports Rush treetops party coming up August 12th, a Thirsty Thursday. And man, do we have this thing covered. We've got We've got a package that includes not only your ticket to the treetop section, and for those of you that don't know what the treetop section is, you may have never even noticed it if you haven't been looking for it, but up by the scoreboard, the upper level by the garage is that private rooftop section, and that section is actually going to be available for individual ticket purchases if you come and join our party on August 12th. Your all-inclusive ticket is going to include not only a seat in the rooftop section, but all-you-can-eat food, draft beer, and bottled wine, all included. A special edition 1380 The Fan, Tin Caps, Treetops Party t-shirt. That is something you can only get by attending our special promotion on August 12th. Proceeds will benefit Cancer Services of Northeast Indiana. The ticket is just $49.50, so get you and your friends together to come hang with us up on the rooftops on August 12th. You can go to 1380thefan.com to get your ticket, 1380thefan.com, or look for the link available on our Facebook or Twitter pages. It is the 1380 The Fan Tin Caps Treetops Party with me, Brett Rump, as your host, Caleb Hatch, hanging out with us, and it's presented by Glenbrook Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep, Ram here in Fort Wayne.
And Fiat, too.
Well, I'm not. I didn't get paid to say Fiat, so I'm not saying Fiat. No, but I hope everybody can come out and be part of that, because it to me, it's one of those things where I always think, boy, I just wish I could be part of a group that could go up there just to see what it's like to party on the rooftop. It's an experience that you don't normally get, and here's an opportunity. All you've got to do is buy the ticket, but we're going to make it well worth it for you to come party with us up there. I understand they're working on putting together some trivia and some prizes. We've got the all-you-can-eat food buffet. That in itself is worth the ticket price. Hey, we're going to add on to that draft beer. That makes it a pretty good deal. What else? Oh, and the bottled wine. So come on out and see us. And make sure you get your tickets quick, because that is a limited seating section. So we cannot just sell tickets endlessly for everybody that wants to come join us. And I know tickets have taken off and had a pretty good start. So get your tickets now before it's too late for the Tin Caps Treetops Party with me, Caleb, and 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Coming up, Connor Asijan joins us from Las Vegas to talk about his summer. Also, Jeff Brom, Purdue football coach. Tommy Schegler from Parkview Sports Medicine. We're cooking. It's a Thursday on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM.
Podcasts by Federated Media.